Hi, I'm Hannah Gelbart, and this is What in the World from the BBC World Service. We're the podcast that explains what's happening in the world. By now, you've probably heard about the backlash to a non-consensual kiss that happened at the end of the Women's Football World Cup final, which Spain won. But the story has evolved since then, and it has sparked a huge conversation about abuse and harassment that women face in the country, all under the hashtag Se Acabó, which are two words that roughly translate as it's over. Enough. We're going to be hearing from some women in Spain about their experiences of sexual harassment and also some of their hopes for the future. So in this episode, we're asking, what in the world is it like to be a woman in Spain? And will the Se Acabó movement change things forever? I'm here with BBC reporter Maria Clara Montoya.
Hi.
Hi. So you're from Colombia, but you used to live in Spain.
Yes, I moved to Spain when I was 7 and lived there up until 3 years ago.
So as I said, this episode is going to be about the wider implications of the Se Acabó movement. It's not just about that kiss, but that is a pretty important starting point. So first of all, what happened?
At the end of the Women's Football World Cup, the head of the Spanish National Football Federation, Luis Rubiales, kissed player Jenny Hermoso on the lips after the Spanish team victory. And in a statement, she said that this kiss wasn't consensual, and then he was suspended by the sports world governing body, the FIFA, and the Spanish prosecutor office then opened an investigation against Mr. Rubiales for an alleged sexual aggression.
Mr. Rubiales has admitted he's made mistakes, but he insists that the kiss was consensual and says he will continue to defend himself and prove the truth. The Spanish men's team have also come out and condemned what they call his unacceptable behaviour. How have people in Spain reacted to what happened at the end of the World Cup final?
It's a mixed reaction, Hannah, because there was a series of videos and pictures pointing to Jenny Hermoso's cheerful attitude in the celebrations, and that has been used to sort of downplay the kiss. But then multiple female footballers showed their support of the player, and as you have said, this has been condensed in two words, it's over, or se acabó in Spanish. But speaking beyond football, these two words have resonated with more people, and especially women who have taken over social media to share experiences of sexual harassment at work. And this has happened in all professional fields.
Now, I also used to live in Spain and I've got a lot of Spanish friends and I've been seeing this all over my social media as well. Maria Clara, you've been speaking to lots of people in Spain. How are they feeling about all this?
Yes, indeed. I have been speaking to lots of people and some of them are outraged. One of them is Irene Blanco. She's a librarian and she sent me this voice note.
Well, this is something that you always carry with you, even if you don't want to give it importance. These are things that stay with you throughout your life. I was working and organising an event, and this guy was hounding me during dinner, saying things like, I like your legs when they open or when they close. And then I remember we went up to the hotel room of the people who organised it. We were there having a few beers, and he was like very, very gross with me. I went to my room running away, and he came after me, asking me to please let him in so we could listen to some music. He tried to kiss me, and I told him, no, no, no. And I remember closing the door and feeling really scared because I was in my early 20s. And he was someone very important on the internet with a lot of followers. That didn't feel right. So yes, situations or movements like Me Too or Se Acabó make you relive what you have lived.
And I spoke to Sara Garcia too. She is a teacher. She contacted me and wanted to share her story with me.
At one of the first academies I worked at, my boss would constantly comment on my appearance and claim that the students would really pay attention to me because of it. He would only hire young girls, and eventually I had to turn off my Latin status because he would write to me nonstop, even at night. The Se Acabó movement also made me think about the time I worked at a fast food restaurant, and the manager told me when I was signing the contract that I would work at the counter because of my look. The worst episode was when a client became obsessed with me, so much that he would scream my name if I was not there. And the security guard told me that it was my fault because of how pretty I was. So the news just makes me realize that there's much violence we face on a daily basis, and yet we're always told that we are exaggerating. It is essential that we understand that all sexual abuses are a terrible act against our will. Hopefully, it will help victims to speak up and to denounce what they suffer, and many people will realize that it's not an isolated case.
Those are really awful experiences, and it sounds incredibly difficult to know what to do after something like that.
Yes, I had a chat with the social worker, Ana Guirao, and she says that sometimes victims are afraid of reporting the situations.
What's happening with Jenny is a reflection of reality. Even after seeing what's happened, Jenny Omoso is being blamed. At first, there was this wave of support for her, and now there's been a swing. We're now seeing the other side. Jenny first said one thing, and then she said something else. And then on TV, Mr. Rubiales, his family came out and told her to tell the truth, as if she didn't. She's being questioned about whether she's laughing or not laughing, whether she's on Ibiza or not. So if that's happening with something we have seen, imagine with what we don't see.
She also told us that this could be a reflection of Spanish society.
We're seeing the two sides of Spain, a Spain that's a little more open and a Spain that continues to live in the dictatorship, in machismo. But lately in Spain, we have cases of gender violence, what happened with the Wolfpack gang rape case, the gang rapes in general. Even the press conference where Mr. Rubiales came out, not only not resigning, but bragging about what he did and blaming Jenny Omoso. I think that was already enough. We got tired of listening to this nonsense. We're also coming from the Me Too movement. It's too much. And seeing on a TV screen how the president of the Spanish Football Federation is giving a kiss to a soccer player and nothing happens. That is why this has already gone one step further. There are turning points in the feminist movement, and I think this will be one of them.
So Ana Guirao said that all of this could be a reflection of Spanish society. What's it got to do with Spain's history?
Well, Spain was under the dictatorship of Francisco Franco until 1975. And after that, they started speeding up in certain social reforms like legalizing divorce in 1981 and decriminalizing abortion in 1985. And these changes were a breakthrough because since then they have been key reforms and the passing of a law acknowledging gender-based violence in 2004 and equal marriage in 2005. And this has an impact in everyday society because most of it has embraced the changes. But recently, and with the rise of the far right, there has been some fears of some of these laws being overturned. In terms of data, Spain ranks sixth in the EU on the gender equality index. And the Se Acabó movement has given a new momentum to the women's rights in Spain.
With all of that context, let's bring it back to the Women's Football World Cup final. How has it changed the conversation about gender equality in Spain?
Spain is quite a vocal country and young people are not afraid to go out and hold huge protests. And I spoke with Anita Fuentes, who researches gender-based violence at the Complutense University of Madrid.
Not only have Spanish people been loudly protesting on social media, but they've also taken to the streets to condemn the normalization of sexual violence and abuse of power in sports and beyond, and also to show support for Jennifer Hermoso, who has ironically been the object of countless smear campaigns ever since she expressed her displeasure with Rubiales' unprofessional and sexist behavior at the World Cup final. But I think it's important to bear in mind the fact that this incident happened in a country that is a global leader in gender equality, which is pretty ironic, but I believe explains why there has been such a strong reaction, right? Before the Me Too movement, which went viral in October 2017, Spanish feminists and allies had already taken to the streets massively to protest against the notorious gang rape case of San Fermín, also known as the Wolfpack case, in Spanish, El Caso de la Manada.
That's the second time someone has mentioned the Wolfpack case, and I remember covering it. It was huge at the time. Tell me a bit about what happened.
It was a pivotal case for Spain. In 2016, a group of five men sexually assaulted an 18-year-old woman during the traditional San Fermín bull running fiesta. This case is known as the Wolfpack because that was the name of the WhatsApp group that the five men shared, and that's La Manada in Spanish. It seemed like the whole country was interested in the trial because the first verdict found the five men guilty of sexual abuse, but they didn't charge the group with rape. And this brought a big social outcry in Spanish society. Everyone was really, really angry about this. Then in 2019, the Supreme Court did find the five men guilty of rape. And this marked a change in Spanish legislation. And since then, Spain has made consent a key aspect when defining a sex crime.
So that case came to a close in 2019, but there have been other big moments for Spanish feminism since. What's happened in the past few years?
I'm going to bring back Anita to answer that because I think she has a very good response.
After that came Me Too, which only intensified the demands of the feminist movement in Spain. Feminist movement in Spain has been very strong for many years now, and recent events are proof that this is still the case. Yeah, se acabó. Spanish women are no longer willing to normalize sexist violence, sexist aggressions. We are very much aware of them now. We are ready to put up a fight, and we are not going to stop until this type of violence ceases to exist.
Now, se acabó has also prompted a response from the Spanish government. This is Equality Minister Irene Montero.
I think the fact that Mr. Rubiales and those who've applauded him have remained in the minority shows that there's a moment of awareness in Spanish society in which the vast majority of men say, I don't want to be that, I don't want to be like that. And that implies that many men reflect and say, maybe I have done something similar at some point, or have seen a similar situation and I've normalised it, and now it no longer seems normal to me. When we say society continues to be male sexist, it's not about blaming any man in particular. It's about recognising that machismo and inequality between men and women is a structural reality that we have the obligation to address until this inequality ends.
So in this episode, we've heard from lots of people with personal experiences, some of them really, really serious. What do they think will change in Spain after all of this?
A mí me gustaría...
I'd like this to contribute to a greater conversation about sexual aggression, harassment in the workplace, violence against women, and so on. I'd like to see people who really know what they're talking about starting to speak out and transform things through knowledge. I mean, it's exciting to see so many women get together to say that, to say enough is enough.
I have to say I feel very optimistic about how people are reacting to this incident. Things like this happen all the time and they rarely get attention. I'm very happy that the Spanish people and that Spanish feminists are saying loud and clear that the impunity that many men in positions of power have enjoyed for centuries in all sectors of society is no longer acceptable. It's over. We're done letting sexist behaviors go without consequence.
Well, I want to be optimistic and I want to think that we are going to continue speaking out against these things, that we are not going to remain silent, and that we are going to continue believing in ourselves as women and becoming, well, a society that is a little more fair. I want to be optimistic so we can feel closer to each other and at least less ashamed to report all this. But at the end of the day, and unless there is a real structural change in those who run companies, universities, magazines and so on, there is not going to be much of a change.
So this kiss did overshadow the success of the Spanish women's football team, but there is hope because Spain has a history of changing the law in response to protest. Thank you for listening to this episode of What in the World from the BBC World Service. If you've been affected by anything that you've heard, you can find the details of the BBC's action line in our show notes. I'm Hannah Gelbart, and I'm going to be here with the team every weekday, Monday to Friday, explaining what in the world is going on. And if you like this episode, you might want to go back and listen to our other episodes. We've got one about the importance of this Women's Football World Cup and another really interesting one about changes to women's rights in Afghanistan.
Please subscribe or follow wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Thank you so much. See you next time. Bye. Bye.